These include the usual wish list, from no layoff policies to employer-provided daycare. Again and again, Clinton beams sunshine wherever the lines between corporations, universities, churches, and government are already thin, hoping that the illumination of her gaze will cause even the shadows dividing them to disappear. Defense contractors are working with government to make peaceful products. Hooray! Automobile companies are working with the EPA to build green cars. Huzzah! Such socially minded corporate philosophies are the avenue to future prosperity and social stability. Everyone will be secure and happy, nestled in the cozy confines of the village. This all sounds peachy in the abstract, but when Clinton tried to impose precisely this sort of vision with her health care plan, she had a harder edge. Recall Hillary's response when it was pointed out to her that her plan would destroy countless small businesses. I can't save every undercapitalized entrepreneur in America. If they can't be part of the solution, who cares if they have problems? Eternal corporatism. I suppose one cannot talk about Hillary Clinton without mentioning her healthcare plan. So much ink has been spilled in that cause, it hardly seems worth wading into the details of Clinton's effort to control 1/7 of the U.S. economy. What may be more worthwhile is to see how her healthcare plan was the inevitable consequence of liberal empowerment. There was an Aesopian nature to the Clintonites. For example, once Hillary tapped her old friend and Bill's Rhodes Scholar pal, Ira Magaziner, to head up her health reform task force, it was inevitable that a large, government-run, corporatist product would come out of the sausage maker. Why? Because that's what Magaziner does. The scorpion must sting the frog, and Magaziner must propose sweeping new public-private partnerships where experts make all the big decisions. Magaziner, Hillary's co-leader in Life magazine in 1969, was a true phenomenon at Brown University. His senior thesis, he told Newsweek, was nothing less than a Comtean search for a new metaphysics, a new answer to the question, why be good? As a junior, he took it upon himself to study the school's curriculum and propose an alternative that was more relevant and pragmatic, leaving it up to the young to design their own educations. He created his own major, Human Studies, and he produced a nearly 500-page report. The shocking part is that he succeeded in getting his Deweyan curriculum, few grades, lots of self-discovery, accepted. For traditionalists, the curriculum has made Brown the joke of the Ivy League ever since. For progressives, it has made the school its crown jewel. At Oxford, Magaziner led anti-Vietnam protests and allied himself with the smitten Vanessa Redgrave.